So the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That is the verse from this morning's first lesson. And Matthew's gospel makes it plain that this light is Jesus. And when we see him, we see light and joy. And so I want to dwell with you for a few moments in these words from Isaiah. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Because I don't know about you, but all the things that Isaiah talks about, light shining, joy multiplying, burdens being broken, that all sounds great to me. And I don't know about you, but I want in on that. But first, if you want to hear the gospel punch to these words, if you want to hear what it means to live with Jesus in light and joy, then we have to consider, even if just for a moment, what Isaiah meant by darkness and light. Because darkness in this particular section of Isaiah doesn't just mean anything that we dislike or which doesn't feel good to us. In fact, it doesn't even mean the gloom of their particular political situation, which was bad at that moment. But if you go back a little bit into the passage just before the one we that Susan read for us, into Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah talks a little bit more about what it means to live in gloom or to be in a kind of endless night in which the sun does not come up. The people indeed are in a very difficult political situation. I can't, maybe we could relate. They aren't sure how to move forward. They feel confused about their situation. And what God wanted in the face of their confusion was their complete trust. God wanted their ears. God wanted their faith in divine direction. But what the people wanted was just some advice about how to get back to living a life that felt good to them. So in chapter 8, the prophet gives the people a warning. Now, if people say to you, consult the ghosts and the familiar spirits that chirp and mutter, should not a people consult their gods, the dead, on behalf of the living for teaching and instruction? Surely the people who live like this will have no dawn. So the darkness, the endless night, Isaiah thinks, comes from this consultation of ghosts and the spirits that are familiar, that chirp and mutter. And now you might say to me, well, Pastor, we can move on now, because if you were thinking that we would ever do that, that we would go to ghosts and spirits for advice, please be assured magic is not our thing. We don't do seances. The Ouija boards got given away to Goodwill. We don't go on ghost clearing expeditions. But you don't have to be in the mode of magical thinking to be taken by what Isaiah is describing here, because there is more than one way to summon a ghost. Perhaps the most common way is to let memories of our past become our vision for the future. For a ghost is nothing else than a residue of the past. Let your vision for where you think God might be leading you be restricted to what was done in former days, and you are basically asking the ghosts for instruction. And I think this is a particular danger for the people of God in this day and age, as our culture becomes more and more unfamiliar with church, and where our memories begin to seem to hold more vitality than the present seems to hold. I mean, anybody remember when the church was packed? And what would we need to do to bring that back? But these are different questions than asking, so what is God doing among us now? How are are we being called to follow Jesus now? What ministry, even in confusing times, does God commit us to? Where is God sending us? Now, see, the ghosts and the spirits will tell you all kinds of things, but they will not do for us what only God can do for us, which is offer vision and hope. They will chatter on about the good old days, but they won't talk about the reality of sin and death, which was very much at work in the good old days as they are today. The ghosts and the spirits will tell us how to stay busy. For example, as we keep trying to do the things that we did in past years, even if it seems harder. They'll tell us how to stay busy, but they won't show us a path out of our anxiety or out of our fear. They will not show us a new way of being, a new way of life beyond sin and death forever, for only God can do this. A couple weeks ago, as I was preparing for a council meeting, I had designed a devotion that involved lighting candles. And a few minutes before the meeting, I discovered that the lighter for the candles that I had in my office was giving no sparks. I knew that the altar guild kept matches in the sacristy, and I knew where they were, and since I didn't want to delay the start of the meeting, I decided not to waste any time by not turning on any lights. I decided not to waste time by turning on lights, and I decided I was just going to head straight for the sacristy. It was after dark. It was about 6:55, and I thought, you know, I know my way around here so well that I can absolutely find these matches. They're just in the corner over there, without actually giving any light to my path. Halfway across the sanctuary, it occurred to me this was really stupid. But I made it without turning on any lights, because somehow now I thought, I've been the pastor here for almost 8 years. I know it's exactly 6 steps from that door to that step, and I can find my way just right over there, and I know if I just reached out my hand, the matches would be just there, and I got back. I mean, I cannot remember the order of Jefferson, Cunningham, and Newcastle streets, or whether they go east or west, but I could get to the matches without turning on a single light. And then I open the book of the prophet Isaiah, who thinks that is really not a good way to live. I mean, that might be fine for getting your matches, but take care that your relationship to God is not like that. So built on memory and pattern and expectation of how things are supposed to be that you can just walk in the dark and make peace with how things are. Because Isaiah tells us, and Jesus embodies for us, that God is the God of a brand new day. And God is the God of light, by which we see how things really are in the present. Not according to memory or according to wish, but according to grace and according to his own action. Not just a little light, but a great light, a light that is revealed in life and death and resurrection of Jesus. In our gospel lesson for today, gospel story for today, Jesus moves from his home in Nazareth to Capernaum in order to fulfill God's promise that he would be in this region where Isaiah saw people walking in darkness. If we'd had kids here today, I would have brought a moving box with me, because it occurred to me Jesus moves literally into the neighborhood and finds a house there. Inside that moving box, by the way, is a flashlight, because that's what Jesus brings. But if you think about what happens when someone moves, there is a disruption of routine, whether you're the one doing the moving or whether someone new moves into your neighborhood. It would be almost as if Jesus were to move something in the path here. And if he didn't bring light while I was trying to go get my matches, I might have stumbled over it. But indeed, he brings light so that we can see the landscape around us and the reality anew. He calls us to see the kingdom of God right now. He calls fishermen to drop their nets now. In the power of the Spirit, he moves in among us right now and invites us to follow, to stop listening to the chirping and the muttering, and just simply to receive his word and ask of him what we are to do. For it's his word that summons us to faith in every age. His light, the light that shines on our path, is most clearly seen in his cross, which tells us that times that we find confusing can actually be times in which God is at work to renew and reshape and bring new life. In the darkness of the tomb, God raised Jesus Christ from death to a new and amazing life. And that's the grace that we actually need. That's the grace that overcomes our real problems of sin and struggle. There was never a time in which sinners did not need saving. With Jesus, there is always grace for just that. And to see that is to see a great light. It is to see our present moment through the lens of his forgiveness. When we face trouble, Jesus zealously desires that we walk in his light and trust that the future is in his hands no matter what. By the power of God, today is the day of new creation. Today is the day that Jesus is in the world. Today is the day that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Today is the day he says, follow, and I'll make you fish for people. Follow me today, he says, for you have a hopeful job to do, to be in the business always of learning, of doing mercy and healing. When we follow him, he multiplies our joy. Amen.